Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Well, I have a show and tell this morning that almost would have been relevant last week, because last week is when we presented our three-year-olds and our third graders with Bibles. And what I have today is my third grade Bible. And what's important about my third grade Bible is not, in this case, the words and pictures inside, but the picture on the front. So the picture on the front of my third grade Bible is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And so we're going to be dedicating our shepherds later on in the service today. This is actually just a really happy coincidence with our scripture reading today, which is about King David. And King David is actually one of the first people in the Bible who was identified as a shepherd and then became a leader of God's people. And then later on, that same idea was applied to Jesus to say, hey, Jesus is kind of like a shepherd too. So if you remember sort of the old-timey story of King David, as he didn't yet know he was going to be king, he was about the age of this kid on the front of my Bible, because this Jesus is pictured as if he was like 10. I always think this is David, even though I know, like, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. So theologically wrong, visually correct. And we have the idea of rulers of God's people as shepherds. Why would that be, do you think? Shepherds have to do what sorts of things for their sheep? Watch out for them. Find water for them. Make sure that they are provided for with water and green pastures. Yeah?
Search for them.
Particularly that one. Right?
Protect them.
So that the shepherd protects the sheep and finds water for the sheep and makes sure that the sheep have all of the food that they need and the protection that they need, and even brings them back together after they've wandered off, which sheep do from time to time. And so it is the shepherd's job to bring the sheep back together. And so the Old Testament says, you know, that's really the skill set that King David brought into being king. And it is something that, as readers also of the New Testament, we say, that sounds a lot like who Jesus is. One who provides for us and cares for us and brings us back together again. So just one chapter before today's scripture reading, all of the tribe leaders of Israel came to David. This was during a time after the first king of Israel, whose name was Saul. Saul had died, and the kingdom sort of went into this really messy succession period. And David had become king of the tribe of Judah, and eventually the other tribes of Israel also came to him, and they said, you know, God has said that you are going to shepherd God's people, Israel, and so now we're ready for you to be our king as well. And then today's scripture reading is one of the very first things David does as king. And this gets a little weird and has relatively little to do with shepherding, but remember this lovely picture of Jesus, your good shepherd, even as you hear kind of this funky story we're about to listen to.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and please follow along as I read. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out, and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of the God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all of the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the Ark, and he died there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the Ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household.
Shepherds, pay special attention to our scripture reading this morning because it serves as really fair disclosure before you come up here to be rededicated a little bit later on in our worship service. You need this full disclosure, you need a word of caution because we are inviting you into something that's honestly a little dangerous, don't you think? Given the scripture reading we just listened to? Because we're about to invite you to be attentive to the presence of God in the midst of this congregation. And that's dangerous stuff. You heard what happened to Uzzah as he was walking along there with the Ark of God, and the oxen stumbled or shook the cart that the Ark was on or whatever it was. And he just got zapped right then and there. Now, this story was asking for trouble from the very beginning, you need to know. The Ark of God was already a known dangerous object to have around you. The priests carrying the Ark of God led the troops into battle as a visible sign of God's presence there with God's people. And God would attack and fight the enemy armies as the people were fighting against them. Now, there was kind of a long story involving the Philistines capturing the Ark and taking it away because they knew how powerful it was as well. And then they sent it back because it brought plagues on the Philistines. And so that's what the Ark was doing there at the house of Abinadab, where David decided, you know, I think I want to bring this Ark into Jerusalem. Now, this looks like a bad decision all the way from the beginning, because we know how dangerous this Ark is as this bringer of plagues on the Philistines and as this sign of God's presence with the people in battle. And now David wants to put it on a cart and roll it down the route of his coronation parade, not realizing that something could go very wrong here, which, again, it does for Uzzah there. Now, you may dismiss this whole story as just a misinterpretation of some electrostatic shock from the cart wheels rolling along the road there, and Uzzah was not properly grounded, or as mythology from some primitive culture that we don't think of in the same way anymore. Well, don't. These ancient stories are often wiser than our own present-day ways of explaining and describing the world. These ancient stories know that God is not to be messed around with. We're talking about the power of the transformative love that creates and recreates the world here. We're talking about a God who does not leave us in the way that we were when we encounter this God in relationship with each other. We could try to dismiss this because this is from the part of the Bible we call the Old Testament, as if the Christian New Testament were any safer than the Christian Old Testament. But here we are. We affirm that Jesus is present in every moment of our lives. We affirm that God is at the core of every authentic relationship we have, that God is always working to make the world new. And we pretend that this is not going to have any impact on us. Well, after Uzzah, thousands of Christians have also been zapped just like he was. Peter and Stephen, Perpetua and Jan Hus and Oscar Romero. Now, some survive being zapped, although they bear the marks of it through the rest of their lives. People like John Calvin and Dorothy Day and Teresa of Calcutta. Shepherds, you can see this is not a safe role that you are about to take on here. You're asking to be transformed in every relationship you enter on behalf of the gospel. So if you're going to take on this task, I ask you to please take appropriate caution as you do, just like you're about to see appropriate cautions taken here in the scripture lesson. See, David realized after that ark zapped Uzzah, he realized that this is a dangerous thing, and so he stashes it in the barn of Obed-Edom the Gittite, and then realizes over time that that has worked out really well for Obed-Edom the Gittite. And David says again to himself, I want some of this right at the center of my own brand new monarchy here. And so he takes another chance at installing God's presence right in the center of Israel, and he does it with safeguards this time. So here's our scripture lesson. The story continues at verse 12. It was told to King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of God had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. This is the word of the Lord. There are some important safety lessons there in the scripture lesson today. Because that went a lot more successfully the second time around. I think David did 4 important things as he brought the presence of God into the center of the life of the people. The first thing he did is he did not pile the ark of God right there on a cart. Now, that was an efficient way to transport it, but it led to the wrong kind of zapping, if I read the scripture reading correctly. It's like when we are so busy doing God's work and doing the things that we are sure God wants us to do that we forget to be present with God's people. It's safer to move God's presence in the ark in the way that was officially prescribed, which is to use 2 long poles through rings on the side of the ark, and 2 or 4 people would stand up under it and lift it with these poles rather than trying to either touch it directly, which was Uzzah's problem, or to move it in, honestly, a much more efficient way. They had already invented the wheel the first time, and that would have gotten it there faster, but not nearly as well. It's better to move deliberately through life with our feet on the ground in God's blessed world, particularly when we are doing the work of nurturing the awareness of God's presence among us, shepherds. Well, that brings us to the second important safety rule that David followed in the scripture lesson, and that is, don't carry God's presence all by yourself. The ark has these long, long poles, and it requires at least two bearers. God's transformation takes time in our lives. To be in deep relationship with each other for a long time, that takes support. Shepherds, do this work together. And third, pray and recenter yourself in God's grace. David, comically perhaps, stops this procession every six steps to offer sacrifice, to make sure that he is surrounding and supporting this entire process with the worship of God and prayer to God. Now, that may be a little bit of overkill, particularly given what I understand to be Covenant's livestock budget, but never hurts to pray. It never hurts to stop and remember God's presence within the reality that we are part of at every moment. But the fourth lesson is that there's a little danger in stopping to pray because you're not going to be alone when you do it. You might be sitting alone, you might be in solitude, you might be the only one physically in the room, but you never pray in isolation. Every time you pray, everyone in the congregation is praying with you. Every time you pray, the needs and the hopes of those you serve as a shepherd are with you. And so you're going to find yourself praying for needs that you never even knew people could have, let alone needs that you knew how to pray for. You'll find yourself inviting God's presence into situations that had seemed completely hopeless, completely devoid of the reality of God's presence. You'll find yourself loving people that you may not understand or honestly even like all that much. And most transformative of all, you will find yourself serving as a vessel of God's love. So brace yourself, prepare yourself. Know that you are in this work to be changed, to be transformed, to be filled again and again with God's love. Because there's no getting around it. If you do this work, shepherds, you are never going to be the same. So enjoy it. David enjoys it so much that he embarrasses his wife with his dancing before the ark, but that's another story. God is at work in the life of the congregation and in the particular work that you are called to do, shepherds. God is at work in our life together, so let us rejoice and celebrate the work that we've been called to. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this work, the work of shepherds, the work of church members, the work of your gospel everywhere we go. Transform us and renew us. Transform and renew your world through us, and make us bold to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every year we rededicate our board of shepherds. Our shepherds are dedicated volunteers who nurture the relationships that bind us together as the church. The shepherds partner with me, the pastor, in caring for the congregation. They provide ministry support for births, illnesses, those who are homebound, those who are in hospice care, those who are hospitalized. They provide help with funerals, including funeral meals. They give remembering you gifts to our shut-ins throughout the year. They assist with baptisms. They maintain a care list for ongoing attention for those needing care. They gather the congregation together in relationship with one another. I invite all our shepherds to come forward. I promise it's safe. Our shepherds are Alice Bell, Lori Brown, Tom Brown, Jean Castor, Lee Cox, John Eft, Kathy Eft, Mary Faust, Diane Johnson, Burt Martindale, Sally Patton, and Susie Thompson. I also invite forward our parish associate, the Reverend Marcy Campbell, who supports our shepherd's ministry as well.
Knowing that God, through Jesus Christ, calls us into specific acts of discipleship, we recognize the Board of Shepherds and your ministry of care and support. Dear friends, you become ambassadors for Christ in bringing the good news message to those in need, to the ill, the infirm, to the grieving, to the new parents, and to any finding themselves in need of your ministry. May you grow in your understanding of Christ's call to be these participants in the joy and celebration of faith in him and to serve as his disciples.
Here's your last chance to back out. Do you accept this task on behalf of your congregation? Do you?
I do.
Will you, the members of Covenant Church, support these leaders as they undertake this form of discipleship? Will you?
Yeah.
Let us pray. You call us, O God, to specific acts of discipleship, and today we pray for your blessing upon our shepherds. They become our Lord's hands and hearts for this congregation, and along with our pastor, visit the sick, care for those unable to regularly worship with our congregation, feed those who hunger, comfort those who grieve, and tend to the lonely. Equip them, O God, in their special discipleship, so Christ's good news is evident, and all may see the glory of life in him. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Good morning, everyone. Each year, the Board of Shepherds presents the Lamb Award to a covenant member who has helped with all the many activities that keep our church going. Although this person does not usually seek recognition, the shepherds think that they should be rewarded for everything they've done. Therefore, we present the Traveling Lamb Award, which may be kept for a year, and then the wooden lamb, which may be always kept. And next to me, you see our little lamb peeking out of the box. This one, when I present the award, we can put the lamb back in, and that one goes home with the recipient for 1 year. Then the other one that's up here, the wooden lamb, is dated for the year that they received it, and that's always can stay with them. This year's recipient is someone who's been a member less than 10 years, but just to mention a few things, has volunteered to play bells, usher, serve communion, be one of our lay leaders, served on Socio de Cristo committee, counted offerings, packed meals for the Heartland, was a session member for 6 years, and last but not least, served for 6 years as our covenant treasurer. When she gave that up, she became moderator of the Stewardship and Mission Interpretation Committee for the Des Moines Presbytery. So by now you all know that this year's Lamb Award goes to Perry Van Tassel.
Wow. Thank you. It's been a joy. I do enjoy it.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.